Turn with you to the book of Revelation, chapter 6. And while you're turning there, let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Lord, open our hearts to receive what you have for us. Feed us, O shepherd of our souls, through your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Revelation, the unveiling, chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, and it says, "When he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held." Now, I think it's interesting because in our society it is becoming more and more politically incorrect to say that Jesus is the only way. And notice these people were martyred not only for the word of God, but for the testimony which they held. They held on to this testimony. They held on to the reality that Jesus is the only way. They did not compromise. They didn't say, "Well, in my opinion, Jesus is the only way." They said, "Jesus is the only way." They held on to the testimony that they had. And they paid for it with their lives. And so then verse 10 says, "And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" Now, they're in heaven, and their cry to God is for him to avenge their martyrdom, their blood, on those that dwell on the earth. And their cry is, "How long, holy and true," they recognize he's holy, he's true, "do you not judge those?" And clear, the answer was not given. He didn't say, you know, "Well, I'm going to do it Tuesday. I'm going to avenge you." You know, what he did is he gave them white robes. White robes were given to every one of them. And it was said to them that they should rest yet a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And so I want to talk a little bit about resting for a season, resting for a little while. When we think about martyrdom, we think about the old Bible days, and yet we're so out of touch with the reality sometimes in America that there has been martyrdom around the world in our generation, in our lifetime, in the last few years even. When ISIS, and I don't know how many of you guys actually go out and watch, look at a lot of the news on the internet, but when ISIS was at its full potential, whom former President Obama called Junior League, which totally offended me, to be quite honest. There was a video that they posted online of people in orange jumpsuits in a cage, and they filled the water up until they drowned. It was a horrific thing. I forced myself to watch it. I didn't want to watch it. I forced myself to watch it because that is the face of evil against the born-again believer. Amen? And martyrdom is present day, and it's real, and we need to be aware of it. In addition to that, and I think some of you heard me mention, there's been several articles this last few weeks about the Pope, who I feel almost undoubtedly is the false prophet. One was he took off his shoes and honored a statue of Buddha. He's constantly bringing all of these Chrislams together. And then, right on cue this last week, he said that fundamentalist Christians were the problem. We are the problem. We are the one force that is trying to hold back this homogenized one-world religion that the Pope will undoubtedly have a major role in. And so this is where we're at, church. This is where we're at. And unless we numb ourselves or bury our head and say, well, no, that's not really, no, this is where we're at. And so the question is then, how do we deal with this? On top of all of these things, then we have our own trials. Amen. We have our own heartaches and our own problems. Sometimes they're marriage, sometimes they're financial, sometimes they're physical pains, aches and pains, loneliness. And I believe that the message of God to the saints under the altar is a message to the last day church. Just rest a little while, just a little longer. Amen. We talked a little bit about it in Sunday school, how as much as we enjoy family and friends and activities, that our heart is longing to be with God and see Jesus face to face. And His message to us is just rest just a little bit longer. It won't be long. You know, a little while to God sometimes may be a year. It may be 2 years, it may be 5 years. I don't know. But if God says to me, just rest a little while, and then it'll be okay. You know, whatever you're going through, whatever heartache you may be facing, just endure just a little bit longer, just a little bit more, just a little bit longer. You're almost there. You're almost at the finish line. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Just rest a little bit longer. It won't be long now. Hallelujah. I can do that. Amen. I can grab hold of the horns of the altar in spite of what I may be going through. And because of God's encouraging words, I'll do that, Lord. I'll do it. Now, Psalm 37:10 says, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Again, to God, it's just a little while. Thus, it may seem like a long time. But you know what? Those long times, when you look back after you cross the finish line, you might say to yourself, well, that wasn't so long. Right? You know, it's kind of like when you're a kid and you're going on vacation or something. You say to your mom or dad, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Well, are we there yet? No, we'll be there in just a little while. Just sit down. You know, here, take your coloring book and color and just rest for a little while. We're there. And then when you get there, you forget about the anxiety. You forget about how anxious you were to get there because now you're there. And soon we're going to be there, church. You hear what I'm saying? And so I can just rest just a little while because I know one day this anxiousness will be over and we will be there. We will have arrived at our destination. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And in a little while, the wicked will be no more. The people who have hurt us and have wounded us, the people who have let us down, the wicked will be no more in just a little while. In the book of Haggai chapter 2, it says, for thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once in a little while, and I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and the dry land. You know, we're starting to see the birth pains. We're seeing earthquakes. We're seeing the threat of volcanoes. We've seen massive weather things go on this year. I mean, floods and freak floods and snowstorms and all these things. And God says, you know what? In just a little while, I'm going to shake heaven and earth. And, you know, that shaking is the birth pains that Jesus said, when you see these things, lift up your head, your redemption draws nigh. So just a little bit longer, church. Just wait a little while longer. It's going to come. And in Hebrews 10:37, for yet a little while, and that he shall come and will not tarry. When is Jesus coming? Just a little while longer. Just a little while. He that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. He will not tarry. He's not going to, you know, the church has waited 2,000 years, but here we are. I believe we're in the little while, church. I believe we're in the place where God is saying to you and me, you know, and someone said it in Eddie, I think it was, how the enemies has risen up in such force. And I know why, because he knows that it's just a little while. And the writer of Hebrews says, just a little while, and he that shall come will come. And so hold on. Praise the Lord. Now the message by God to the saints under the altar wasn't just hold on a little while. It was rest a little while. rest a little while. So what does that mean? How do I do that? You see, if I am anxious and I am fearful and I'm allowing the enemy to rob my joy, I am not at rest. Amen? It is not God's desire for you to be anxious and worrisome a little while until he comes. It's his desire for you to rest a little while until he comes. And so how do I do that? What do I do? How do I live the life of peace and waiting in a world turned upside down? Well, I rest in him. I don't rest in the stock market. I don't rest in the TV shows. I rest in him. He is my rest. He is my peace. I rest in prayer. What joy we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And so I can complain about it. I can talk about it. I can tell people my problems. But until I tell God my problems, I'm going to keep on having those problems. So I go to him in prayer and I rest in prayer. And I also rest in his word. When I open the book, if I open the book, and I have to say that, because you can talk about it on Sunday morning, but you still got to crack it on Saturday night, Thursday afternoon. And when I open his word and I begin to read it, then the peace that passes understanding comes and I rest in his word. And finally, I rest in faith. If I didn't have faith, I would throw in the towel a long time ago, because when I look at what's going on in the world and I read about the threat of thermonuclear war and famines and freak diseases that are rising, you know, there's a flu and a swine flu and a pig flu and a bird flu, and there's every kind of, and all these things are coming, and I could just totally freak out. But I have faith that I have read the back of the book and we win. This earth is not going to go up in a giant thermonuclear blast. There isn't going to be a plague that wipes out the entire planet. Jesus Christ is coming again, and he's going to set everything straight. The world that's going to be destroyed during the tribulation is going to be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Amen. And my king is going to rule from Jerusalem, and every nation that doesn't go and bow down to him, he's not even going to give them any rain. That's the king I serve. Amen. And so I rest in faith that I know that I know that I know that God has got this whole world in his hands. Praise the Lord. And so I rest a little while. Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to lose heart, not to give up, not to throw in the towel. I rest in him. I rest in prayer. I rest in his word, and I rest in faith this little while. Now, where do I do it at? Well, do I do it when I go to church? I do it all the time. I have to do it all the time. You know, there are 24 hours in a day. Jesus said, work while it is day, for the night comes when no man works. There's going to be a day come where the Holy Spirit is going to be lifted off the earth. It's going to be an eternal night for 3.5 years, 7 to 3.5 years. I don't have any kind of crystal ball to say exactly how it's all going to work, but I know from the Word of God it's going to be dark days ahead. And he said, work while it is day. And so where do I do it? I do it everywhere I'm at. I do it when it's convenient and inconvenient. I do it when it's good times, when it's bad times, when I feel like it, when I don't feel like it. I have to rest in him a little while. Praise the Lord. Now, I don't know if you guys ever have felt like quitting before, but I can tell you I have. I think that the greatest enemy of our soul is that feeling, I've done everything I can do and nothing's changed. Can anybody relate to that feeling? I hope you can. I've prayed, I've sought the Lord, I've done this, I've done that, and nothing's changed. And I often think about the fighter Muhammad Ali. Because the Bible says we fight the fight of faith. You know, Muhammad Ali, he had this technique called the rope-a-dope. And he would just tighten up those stomach muscles and just become his enemy's punching bag. until the guy's arms got too tired. Just pounding him, pounding him, pounding him. I think it was, I can't remember if it was Mike Tyson or who it was at, said, I broke his jaw. Talking about Tyson breaking Muhammad Ali's jaw. And he said, I could see that jaw flopping. And he kept coming. And I knew I was beat. Woo! That inspires me. I want to take everything the enemy can throw at me, even if he breaks me. And I want to keep standing. Amen. And that's when the enemy says, oh, my Lord, he's still on his feet. I'm beat. Woo! Come on, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just a little bit longer, we can do this. There's a poem I had years ago, and it took me a while to find it. And it says, when things go wrong, as they sometime will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, and when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometime learns, and many a fellow turn about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to faint and falter a man. Often the struggle has given up when he might have, the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night came down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint in the cloud of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It might be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worse that you must not quit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, the word to the saints in the altar is the words to you and I in these last days. Just rest in Him for a little while. We're almost there. Praise the Lord. I think I've shared with you the story of Pederoski before, but seems fitting. I'll share it again. Sometimes I wonder if I sound like a broken record. You know, I need new material, but it's a great story. In fact, the place I work for, there is a lady across town who's over billing and data entry, and she reports to me because of the AR on top of all the computer stuff. I have a background in hospital accounts receivable management, so the boss gives me multiple hats, and so I meet with her every Thursday to look at the accounts receivable and where is that, and are we having any troubles with billing and all of these things. And a couple of years ago, she was feeling overwhelmed. And she said, I just don't know if I can do this job. And she was feeling inadequate and overwhelmed. And I told her the Pederoski story. And she began to weep. I love it when I get to minister and get paid good money for it. Isn't that great? You know, the boss thinks I'm wearing multiple hats. He doesn't know all the hats I wear. Glory to God. The Pederoski story is a woman who has a young lad who's learning to play the piano. And he doesn't seem real interested, so she gets the idea that she's going to take him to see this great pianist in concert. And it's a really highfalutin affair. There's men in tuxedos and women with cultured pearls, and they're all standing around waiting, and there's a giant grand piano on the stage. And unbeknownst to her, her little boy slips down the aisle over to the side, walks up the steps, and starts playing chopsticks on the grand piano in front of this highfalutin crowd, right? And the crowd begins to say, whose kid is that? What's that kid doing up there? Who's his mother? And she's in shock that her son is up there. And the pianist, Pederoski, sees what's going on, and he throws on his tuxedo jacket, and he slips out, with a hand on each side of the boy, he begins to impromptu play a concert in conjunction with chopsticks. And all the while, he's whispering in the little boy's ear, "Keep going. You're doing great. Don't stop. Keep going. You're doing fine. Keep going. You're great. You're doing great. Don't stop. Keep going." And when they finished, he and the little lad bowed to an applauding audience. And you know, the Bible says, hallelujah, Hebrews says that we have this grandstand of the heroes of faith cheering us on. It calls it a great cloud of witnesses. And I imagine that the Lord is putting his arms around you and I. And you may feel so inadequate. You may feel like a little boy playing chopsticks. And you may see other people in ministries and other Christians doing it all perfect, and you feel like a failure. But the Father, the Master, has got his arms around you, and he's saying, "Keep going. Don't stop. You're doing great." And your small contribution mixed with his glorious skills make a symphony that crowd of faith that went before us, the Samsons and Davids and Moseses, they are applauding you and I. And they're saying, "What a symphony you and the Lord make together." Amen. So as I said, when I saw this lady across town and I told her about that, you know, when you start saying, and his arms are around and he's saying, "You're doing good, don't quit, keep going," you know, and tears begin to come down her face. Because, you know, every one of us, without exception, get discouraged and want to quit sometimes. We really do. And the Lord is saying, "Just a little longer. Come on up, Noah, just a little bit longer. It's all going to be glorious." Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. As Nola's coming, let's just bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we love you and we thank you that the enemy is defeated. I said the enemy of our soul is defeated and you win. The only difference between us walking on streets of gold and now is just a little while. It's just a little while. And so we pray, Lord, that you would help us just to rest. Just to rest in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, one other thing I want to say. The text says that he gave them, let me get my text out here. It says he gave them white robes. White robes. When you think about a robe, the Bible has different words for robes. Coat, vesture, robe. Joseph had a coat of many colors. Jesus had a robe. Elijah had a cloak, right? They all are basically the same. They are the mantle of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I think probably the best thing that we could ask for in this resting a little while is, Lord, give me a mantle of anointing of the Holy Spirit so that I can endure this little while longer. Amen. I need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit in my life. That's the one element that in this text that God physically gives them to give them what they need to rest a little while. Can we all stand? I'm going to do something, and I think I have the Lord on this. I'm going to ask everybody to come up here, And of course, Nola, you can't do that, but we will pray for you as well. And I want us to pray for each other, myself included, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit would be rest upon us. There would be this mantle of anointing that covers us. Come on over here, Rick. Let's kind of center ourselves. And let's just pray for each other and for Nola, for this mantle of anointing, this robe, this white robe of the anointing of the Holy Spirit over our hearts and lives, to give us that umph we need to rest just a little bit longer and finish the race sprinting through. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, we pray for the people in our chain, the people on our left, our right, around us. We pray for Nola. Send the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Put your mantle, put your robe, put your cloak of anointing upon each person here this morning to give us that anointing, that unction of the Holy Spirit that enables us, Lord, to rest just a little bit longer until we see you face to face. We know, Lord, you said, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered in the hearts of men the things that God has prepared for us. But it's just a little bit longer, Lord. And so we need that anointing. We need that fresh wind, that fresh fire from heaven's gale upon us to cloak us with that anointing of the Holy Spirit that we could finish this race. Lord, we know the enemy is defeated. The enemy of our soul cannot win. And we know, Lord, it's not by might or power, but it's by your Spirit, says the Lord. And so we receive that cloak of anointing this morning. We receive that robe, that white robe, that enables us to rest just a little while longer until we see you face to face. Oh, we receive it by faith in Jesus' name. And we know, Lord, that when we leave here today, we will leave with a new, fresh anointing on our lives. We will leave with a new, fresh unction in our spirit. And then people say, what happened to you? It's the robe. It's the robe given to me by God the Father to rest just a little longer until I see him face to face. Woo, hallelujah to God. I said hallelujah to God. Oh, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. We have received that anointing this morning to run the race and not grow weary, to walk and not faint. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just worship the King for a minute. Glory, 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 glory. We receive that anointing this morning, Lord. We receive that robe. We receive that cloak. We receive that strength we need to finish the race, to rest a little longer. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God bless you guys. Nola, finish us out. Finish us out. What are you singing?
I'm singing Praise the Lord.
All right.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Wait a minute. I want
to sing. All you people, won't you praise him?
All you nations, hallelujah, Lord, hallelujah, Lord.
Praise
oh, andarabashotaralalamasotaraki. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Praise God, yes, praise.
The Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Send your Holy Spirit, Lord. Let your have your way, Lord. Let your will be done. Oh, hallelujah. I just want to wait on the Lord a minute. Is that all right with you guys? Just wait on the Lord and see what he wants to do. I know it's getting late. Lord, we love you today. We thank you. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, where would we be without him? You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That's really what we're talking about, isn't it? The power of the Holy Spirit to live the overcoming life. Thank you, Lord, for the power of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Thank you for the anointing. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. One will send 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000. Many will fall at our side, but it will not come nigh to us. I know in whom I believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Hallelujah. Though the enemy will come in like a flood, the Lord will raise a standard. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we love you. Thank you for each person here. As we depart after our little rehearsal, Lord, let us carry that anointing, that cloak, that robe with us. Not only today, but in the days to come. May we walk in the Spirit by the power of God. In Jesus' name, amen.